Are you on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde? Well, we're going to have a real talk now. But let me say, I've got Brian Tamaki. Man, everyone's hating on him at the moment. But I've got to say, Brian, we got this on video, so smile. You don't look like a great granddad.
Oh, thank you.
A
Yeah,
great granddad.
I've got 5 great-grandchildren.
That is
So,
amazing. How blessed are you?
oh,
How
very.
blessed are you? Now,
Thank you.
we're here for the children. Now, let me just say, we're going to cover off. We'll have listeners across the whole spectrum. We'll have listeners that say, oh, well, if people want to be trans, that's okay. If they want to put on a frock and dance around, that's okay. And if parents want their kids to see the show at the library, that's okay. Some people object to that. And then, and here's the crucial bit, a lot of people may agree with you, but disagree with your tactics. And they'll say, oh, well, you're using what's been called the thug's veto and intimidating people who are going about their lawful business. That's what we want to cover today. But first up, I want to cover what happened yesterday and your logic and your thoughts behind it. So just walk me through, because there were two events that we're discussing, right? Walk us through it.
Well, I actually wasn't at any of these events because my dad's 90 years old and he only has a few days to live.
Oh, I'm
And
very
so,
sorry. I'm very, very sorry to hear that, Brian. I'm very sorry. He'll be
thank
in our
you.
prayers.
Well, he's 90 years old, okay, actually coming up 91 in a month or two, a month next month. So he's had a good leg of life. He's a beautiful father, and I've got a lot of my family, nephews, brothers, sisters, uncles, friends are coming in. So when he does pass on into glory, it'll be a 3-day event, one here at the home for the family, then to the church in Auckland, and then down to the marae in Te Awamutu. We will have full services, and so that's why I wasn't around the weekend
He
at the
must be
beginning of.
very, very proud of you, Brian.
My dad was in church only 3 weeks ago, as all my family, 5 generations, all in the same church, my Destiny Church, and he's quite vocal from the front, and it's really encouraged a lot of men that a father could be saying, "My son is a man of God, and so proud of him," you know, and it sort of really is encouraging for me that my dad at this age is still saying, "You're a man of God and God is using you," but sometimes it can be bordering on embarrassment, you know.
Yeah.
But
But, and here's the thing, he's a great, great granddad.
he's a great, great granddad, yeah. So and my
Have you
mum's
got,
not.
has he got great, great grandchildren who are old enough to remember him?
Yes, because my eldest 2 great-grandgirls definitely know my granddad. Or their grandfather, great grandfather. Well, great great.
Great,
Gosh,
great. Isn't that something?
that sounds yeah. But
I can remember my great granddad, and it's etched in my mind, and I think that's amazing because it stretches back to the 1880s when he would have been born. But your children are going to, your grand great grandchildren are going to grow up remembering their, not just you, but their great great grandchildren.
my dad, yeah. It's so great to have it at home. You know, he
Yes.
didn't want to go to hospital. And that's why the hospice and all those people that have come and helped, given us a bed. But he's got his family constantly, you know, there. And all my sisters are looking after him, and my brothers and all the nephews and nieces and family members extended, they've come. It's so good, Rodney,
It's actually beautiful, isn't it? It is actually beautiful.
He's never alone. And it does, I mean, I think it's added life onto him to stay and hang on because
Yes.
we sing songs every evening. And I hop on the guitar with my brothers and we sing all the songs he loves and have a good, great, great laugh. And then we
And he's
always
off to
finish with prayer.
glory.
Yeah. It's only a matter of a couple of days or 3, I think.
Tell
Yeah.
us about the events.
Okay. So what happened? And, well, as I was saying, I wasn't there, but I knew that some of my West Auckland and central people were concerned about how the I think it's they call it the Rainbow Parade. There are various names for it now, there's so many, but it involved the whole LGBTQI community. They were getting funded by the Auckland City Council to the tune of something like $29,000 just for the march. I don't know what that covers, but $29,000, I've never got that for a march. And they also were getting another $17,000 just for related costs to this event. And that's not considering or counting in the cost of the library reading, but I understand that King, Drag King Hugo, who goes by, excuse my language for the audience, he goes by or calls himself in his entertainment life, adult entertainment life, he's called Slut and Stripper. And that's his name. And he was given a grant from the New Zealand On Air of $1.2 million to
No.
arrange, the kiddie, what they call kiddie story times with Hugo. So this is New Zealand On Air. He's been given this, and it'll be coming out later on TVNZ again as a documentary series following what I would call a very graphic, explicit man who is targeting and sexualizing our children. So I think this will give a perspective, Rodney, straight away to people and why my guys actually mentioned it to me. They said, we're all got families, young families, with kids in school, and now they're saying you talked about the RECs now remaining in the schools. So Winston and Seymour and Luxon broke their promises. They said they'd remove those, but they've entrenched it. And every single principal across the country got an email a week ago informing them now that basically their relationships and sexuality education is all but compulsory in schools. And every state school and interstate school has to provide a place of 5 hours of teaching that a week to the children from 5 years old up upwards. So I was horrified by this. I mean, I've got a number of principals. I sent me the emails, Rodney. So how does this happen? So you've got on one side, you've got the trans gay movement getting funded by the Auckland City Council, and I have no doubt the government's funding them as well, central government. They definitely are. And most other councils are funding a minority group to do this stuff. Now you've got the schools being told that it's compulsory, and the board of governors for these schools, school boards, don't have to necessarily have parents' consent. So that's to me, this to me is, it's gone over the line, it's crossed the line. So I had this information and much more about parents now saying that their kids are coming home. These are 10, 11, 12-year-old girls mainly, and boys, who start talking to their parents about wanting to be trans neutral. And that's pretty big language with this whole, identity. So what's happening, Rodney, in our schools under the cover of parents notice or understand what's going on with their kids? They're questioning their identity, and they are questioning whether they're born in the right body. This is evil, this stuff. And it's more widespread than we think. It's
Yes.
just that a lot of parents are afraid.
I can confirm that.
They're afraid to speak up because they get attacked by this community. They soon, separate and isolate these people, and they go for them. So we've got all this going on. So my team said to me, look, what do you think we wave some banners outside on the roadside? And I said, that's great. You want to do that? I'm not there. But look, what I'm telling you is this, and I understand that this Drag King Hugo, and I gave them the info, I gave your listeners what he is involved in. It's an R18 adult entertainer. That's his trade. It's explicit. It is graphic, and it is inappropriate even for teenagers. But I said he's actually storytelling in two locations. And they were saying, oh, okay, are we you thinking the same thing as we're thinking? We're quite capable. We have the young men here of the youth, our youth movement, who have just been through a convention with me across the country. There's hundreds of them, and they live in a pure life. They don't want to be involved in anything like this. They don't want to. They're trying to be best to abstain from alcohol, drugs, and sex before marriage. I think this is what's made a difference to that haka, but your audience wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. But these young people, I said, look, you've seen what we do. We stand up for what's right. Our country's not healthy. It is probably not safe in the future for you, and definitely my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. It's not a safe country at the moment in the way that we are constantly exposed to the trans ideology, identity confusion. If you're targeting our children, and this is not new to the public of New Zealand, this is ongoing, and they are not hiding it, covering it, or ambiguous
At the
about what they're
very
doing.
least, it's grooming.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. So if it's grooming, what for?
Yeah.
So look, Rodney, I said to them, I think Kiwis have had a gutsful because I'm feeling like I've had a gutsful of this stuff. And I actually hate having to go out and stand up and talk about all the sexual perversion all the time. I mean, that's not my favourite topic.
No.
I don't want to be really known for that. But then still sort of small gut instinct inside of me said, you've come this far, Brian. You've stood. I want you to keep standing for me and speaking for me. Instruct them to stand up for what's right and expose the information that's been withheld by the mainstream media to the public of New Zealand. And I know that voice said to me, they will soon see it. So I said to them, all right, you're going to have to, some of you have got tickets of entry to this drag reading. Then you have a right to go to the location, to the premises, it's a library, and show your tickets and go in. I said, no violence. We're not a violent movement.
No, of
We
course.
don't condone violence. But they went there, and apparently, when I said to them, you could go into the, you have a right to go there. So they were stopped at the entrance way down the bottom by a very aggressive group of trans and gay people mixed, and they were hostile. They knew as soon as they saw, because we had, they had the t-shirts on of raising fathers to save our children. That's a good advertisement. And man up. That's what we need, actually. So they started first, and you can see in the video somebody took that they were pushed, but they were telling me outside they were spat at. They were spat at. And one of the senior guys with the police outside said to me, I want to lay a complaint that this person had even pointed to them. Came over and pushed this young lady with us and a guy just pushed them and spat at one. And I want you to take the details. And the police wouldn't. They just shrugged it off. This is, you're asking me what happened. This is what happened.
No.
So the police shrugged it off. They nevertheless, the guys went through and then the rest is kind of history as far as the library goes. They just pushed their way through because that's a public place. They had tickets, some of them, and they said they weren't going to go and do anything violent. They wanted to be in there to listen and hear the content for themselves. But it didn't get that far. They locked the door up top as soon as they knew. We didn't lock the door and barricade, and these guys were like yelling and screaming. And after that, of course, they were pushed down, so they did a haka there. Now, I don't, that was them. Some of them did that. That's the first part of it. Came away and it caused a kerfuffle enough, right? Because I said our sole purpose is to protect the innocence of our children. That's why I'm doing this, no other reason. So I don't want violence. They finished there. Okay, fast forward, Rodney. The next thing I know, because they said there's two events, I said. So they got that in the beginning. So they already knew the other event was not far down the other side of West Auckland towards Central Auckland. So they just assumed and took themselves down there to go down there as well. But it, word got out that they were coming, and so they cancelled it, which I thought was great news. They cancelled it.
That was a library event.
It's a library event. So this
Okay.
is around about 3 in the afternoon.
Yep.
So it was all over. It was great. I said thank you to them. They went home. Then I went and saw my dad again, and I talked to some of my family members. And look, this is the way it happens with me, my gut. It comes from deep within. And it just said, I want those same boys to go to the main street to do the haka in front of the festivities and the parade at the Ponsonby Road. It was just clear to me like that. And I said to my wife, hold on a moment, I just got to make a call. So I called my main guy and I said, get the young men who did that haka. I said, because they got something very pure about them. And take them down to Ponsonby Road. And I said, this despicable, disgraceful event that is publicly displaying men walking with miniskirts, by the way, with no underwear. The reports of these men's private parts were hanging down, these little, I don't know why they're not arrested for indecent exposure, why the police turn a blind eye to all of this, Rodney. This was everywhere. And some of them said that they were lifting up their dresses, showing their private parts, and it was no, it would equal if not exceed Sodom and Gomorrah, to be honest.
I agree.
So my man said, okay, so he rallied them together. The plan was, don't expose the man up t-shirts because your police will be all over you. But one of the guys works at the police, went and had a word to the police and said, look, it's our right to protest. Yes, it is, but this is another event. Well, we just want a couple of minutes to have a haka on the main street. We believe it's a part of what we want to do, these young men, to express their disgust at what's happening with the drag queens targeting our children. And this sort of parade encouraging and exposing families, you wouldn't see there's a lot of children down there, Rodney, aligned in the streets. There were parents, I don't know what's wrong with these parents, but they're exposing children and young kids to this mess is wrong. But nevertheless, and that's what happened. So they chose their time, and the police said, and we'll confirm that, because they're trying to push the police to investigate us for all sorts of stuff. That's what they do. So this policewoman was on, it's on record, the video. She said, no, it was all done well. And they did it with a lot of time because they spoke to them and they gave them the time to do it. So they were allowed to. So there was nothing wrong with that. And so that is what they did. And the rest, as they say, is history. It just blew up and went viral, more than viral. It started, I think, a revolution across the world. I just
Tell me,
understand now. Well, I'm looking here now, 60 million, 60 million
60
people.
million people have seen those men do that haka.
Yeah, and they're all saying we want to be a part of this revolution of getting rid of woke. They've all had enough.
The
The different
greatest,
countries.
the greatest, just before I came on, you were talking about Billboard Chris, who I regard as the greatest campaigner on his own with that billboard. So brave, so reasonable. And he's been in touch with you. He is so amazed.
Yeah, he wants to
Like,
meet me. Yeah.
that is amazing. Billboard Chris is like a hero to us.
Oh, wow.
Tell
I'm
me
looking.
what you said earlier, that the haka was different because this wasn't in a haka for a show. To greet some dignitary. It wasn't a haka ahead of a game of rugby. You
Well,
said
the
this was a
action.
haka of men in Christ
Yeah.
standing up for their children.
All those young men and women are devout, fully devout Christians. They have all been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have a vital relationship with Christ. From an early age, most of the parents have been in my church and followers for many years, and these are the children that were raised up under the teaching of Destiny Church myself, and now they are young men and women who have picked up that next generation of purity. So really it was purity facing perversion. And what people didn't see, because a lot of Māori, with all the bad rap the haka got from young Hana in the government when she
Yes.
ripped up the, tore up the paper from Act, there wasn't one single person in those millions that said they're over the haka or the haka's not as it is. They said this. A lot of them said that is something different about that haka. And a lot of Māoris back here said, oh, there's mana in that. See, they can tell. And I could tell as soon as they put it in there, you could feel the Holy Spirit of God in those young Generation Z. That's who they are. Like two or three
Because
generations.
I just learned this last night from my pastor. The Holy Spirit connects us. Connects me to you, you to me, and
yeah.
you to me to God. And the Holy Spirit connects those doing the haka. Would that be your understanding?
Yeah, well, it's a very spiritual dance. It's not. So we've taken an age-old ancient war dance from our tūpuna or our ancestors, and what we've done is sanitized it in a way, because it used to be it was a war dance to intimidate the enemy, put fear in the hearts of the enemy. Now, my private prayer time before this all happened, and I do this right here where I'm sitting, and I pray, God, as you said to Joshua, I will put the fear of you into them.
Yes.
That's what it's doing. So
yes.
It worked. So there's a double-edged power here.
And
One,
people watching that video,
yeah,
like me, felt that.
Yeah.
And Billboard Chris,
yeah,
who's Canadian, I believe, knows nothing probably of Maori culture.
No.
He could feel it.
Well, his
60 million viewers.
60 million all over the
60
world.
60 million.
It's
well.
still going off.
Have you ever
Yeah,
had
so,
anything like that? Could you imagine that? 60
no.
million.
No. 60 million reading a message that I put under that post.
Extraordinary.
So they've
Now,
read that post.
let's go to the philosophical or
Yeah.
question.
Yeah.
There are people who agree with your opposition, and they will say, hang on, hang on, hang on, Brian. You are being aggressive in a public place where people are lawfully, and indeed at the encouragement of the council and the government, giving a free speech talk. We might disagree with it, that there are kids there, and we might want to protect those kids. But you are using what the speech union say is the thug's veto, not following a proper channel, but that in a way, you're no different than, say, the trans people trying to shut you down because you've crossed that line. Can you reconcile that? You understand the concern?
Yeah, I think I do. I can see people saying, I mean, I think it's a major distraction. I've always been involved in protests. I've been probably involved in more protests than anybody in this country. And I have. Protests are recognised as a part of our democracy. And it's one beautiful freedom that we still retain, just
yes.
that you can stand up and have the freedom of expression and speech almost any time in any place. That's a
And
very...
if you didn't threaten anyone?
No, that's right. We did not.
If you
And
didn't hit anyone?
no, They did not hit anybody. And those videos have gone over and over with a lot of people because I wanted to know. I wasn't there. And I know someone can get a bit heated if they're pushed over or spat in the face, they could react with a punch. But many of them know that they don't do that. That's part of it. But we had a look at this, and the video shows clearly that we were the ones getting bullied and pushed around, but no punching or beating up people. They've really. So I've got to say, people just have to really look at the deeper issues here. This small distraction of even if it did happen and it was one person that was wayward or loose, it does not take away from the fact that the whole issue is about our children being targeted. And it's not a theory, it's not something hidden behind a veil, it's out in the open that they're
And
our children.
that to me is the crazy thing. Because if you saw someone grooming a young child, you would intervene. You would call the police. Now, what we have is the police, the government, the council,
That's
the
it.
media, all the lovelies saying, oh, no, this grooming is okay. Even the parents are going along with it. And what you and I are saying is, no, just because the government is paying for it or saying it's okay doesn't make it okay. I don't understand why people who are on our side struggle to see that.
That's right. I think I said today to my wife, Rodney, I said, isn't it incredible, Hannah, how it's either a massive slide of morals and ethics in our country, or people are very easily sucked in, deceived by what they hear and see from the media. You've got, it's blatant. This guy is not hiding the fact is that his name is Slut.
No.
And he goes by the name of a stripper, and he's not hiding his occupation, which is sexual perversion at its dirtiest. Honestly, at its dirtiest. Don't even go and look at his resume. It's got everything that you wouldn't even believe that a human's possibly to do. So he's storytelling to toddlers and children. You do not need. You do not have to be educated or a degree or anything like that. The instinct of a father or a mother, grandparent, or a parent who's not the parent of those children to say, that's not right. I don't care
Well,
what you say.
it's the instinct of a bystander, even while the parent is saying this is okay, you
That's
still
right.
intervene.
Exactly. And I'm coming up the stairs to get those children out of there. The irony of this is that Duncan Garner
Yes.
screamed at me and said, "Brian, they barricaded themselves in because they're afraid." And I said, "Afraid of what?" And your men, be I said, "No, they weren't." I said, "What they should have been afraid of is they barricade 30 little children in with a resume that says that what he is. He's in the room with those kids locked up. That's the ideal thing for him."
We have got this is the problem that we've got to. We have so destroyed our Christian heritage that no one now can distinguish right from wrong. Everything is morally ambiguous, and you have become the evil one who's trying to protect their little kids. That is so upside down, but this is biblical, right? Well, you've strengthened me, Brian, because I follow the debates and the discussions, and I think, well, maybe Brian's gone a bit too far with these rough married boys turning up, doing a haka and scaring these little kids. But what do we do when parents, councils, government, and the police not only look the other way, but
Yeah.
pay for this to happen with our
They're
money.
paying for it. Rodney, we wouldn't be here talking. Television New Zealand and Herald are going nuts. The whole country's going nuts over it, and so is the world. Everybody's overlooking the fact, except us, that sometimes I have to do something fairly radical, unconventional, or the timing is everything when you decide to do something that everybody else would say, no, don't. And of course, I don't do this because I like doing it. Well, nobody likes getting hated. That's not the point. The point is that this is a worthy principle. It's a value, and our children matter. And I couldn't think of anything worse than my children, your children, and the future of this country's or this nation's children being absolutely confused and perverted by being exposed to this sexual level of sexuality. Now, I said to Hannah, you know what, Hannah, God's making me a reference point. And I kind of smile because you're reticent at the same time. I will do it because this is what God is using me for. You're reticent, but you've got to do it. I'm a reference point of who is for me and who's against me. In other words, if you come out and you rail on me, then you are pro the drag queens and our kids being exposed to sexualization. That means that you're also pro woke. If you're for me, you are anti-woke. As simple as that. So out comes Mr. Chris Hipkins, and he barrels me, trying to explain to me what a real man is. The guy couldn't explain what a woman is. And then at the end of it, he calls me a boy.
I know.
Now, he got rubbished by every single, I don't think there's one person that agreed with him. And there are literally thousands
I know.
that
I saw
just
that.
they got
I
into him.
know.
And he
And I
got
mean,
torn to shreds. So who comes out next is the mayor of Auckland,
I know.
Wayne Brown. So I said, he is pro-woke. So I've polarized this for them to manifest that.
And the CEO.
Then, and then, yeah, the CEO, Auckland Council CEO, he's come out, had a crack. So that whole Auckland City Council is woke. Then, oh, blow me over, the Prime Minister hops up and he's told by his minders, you need to have a shot at Brian Tamaki too. It's important that you do. You say he's gone too far. So he comes out and reveals that he's woke as well and that he's pro the Rainbow Pride movement. So I've been waiting for Winston and Seymour, but I think they realise now those two are a bit more cunning. And I think, oh no, I'm not going to say anything about Brian here right now because that will put us in his list of now we can sweep the whole parliamentary floor of these has-beens and these over outdated, and I think time for an overhaul of our political system because I'm waiting for who's coming. The media's done it, they've dropped in it. So I know they're pro-woke and they're pro the trans gay movement. So what I'm doing is I'm clearly polarizing for the public to see who they know they can't trust.
And of
And
course, we
they're
have
coming
this,
now.
we have the
Yeah.
wonderful Mr. Trump and his team
Yep.
who have shown how literally overnight a country can change course and
Yeah.
pull itself up.
Of course.
Only men, only women on the passport, in the schools, in the military. Amazing. And I think our politicians haven't woken up that
No, they won't. What they won't wake up. No, they can't.
they can't. They're
What
too
I'm
complicated.
trying to reveal to people is this: showing them how deep it is in them. They won't change. You've got to be out of your mind by now to see that national is finished.
Yes.
Labour has finished. These two leaders are representative of an old political system that's now come to a halt. It's no longer relevant or usable for our new future. These two parties together alone have wrecked our country, red and blue.
There you go, Brian. I hadn't appreciated that you're re revealing to us where people are. I can remember as a young man, I used to have a test and I'd ask people what they thought of the UN. And if they told me that the UN was this great thing working for peace, I think, okay, I know exactly who you are and what you think. And if they told me it was a shockingly corrupt organization hell-bent on war and destruction, I'd say, okay, you can be my friend. And then I had it with Trump. If you say to people, what do you think of Trump? They reveal everything you need to know about them, whether they're independent thinkers taking their news from more than just the Herald and the New York Times and TV One. And now we can say you are flushing them out. Absolutely. I hadn't seen that. Brian.
Well, that's what I told Heather today. I'm flushing them out, and I think there's some more coming. Flushed out the media. There's an academic that's come out and shot me as well. So I said, "There's another one." So now, then you've got these institutions that are infested with wokeism, and
There
it's
you go.
quite deep. I think more so
Yeah.
than people realized. And I said, I think God's using me to do that, to get people to see that you have to change. Once you see that, if you want real change, then you cannot vote any of these people that are currently in there.
No, there
And
you
you
go.
can't take apples out of the same barrel. You've got
Yeah.
to go to the tree to pick a fresh apple.
There you go. That's Brian Tamaki. Is he doing God's work or is he hindering the cause? That's a question. Send me a text at 2057, email me inbox at realitycheck.radio. I don't hide where I stand because I've had enough. And if I was more of a man, I'd be down there doing a haka too, I think, with Brian's crew. Tears in my eyes, I did. Brian, your thought, you will be in our thoughts and prayers with your dad.
Thank you.
And we appreciate at this tough family time you taking the opportunity to spend with us on this
My
cause
pleasure.
for our children.